This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. As we inch ever closer to Halloween, candy, of course, comes to mind. Lots of candy, which is, parentally speaking, terrible, right? Cavities, obesity, the list goes on. But that list might not actually be fair. Samira Kawash is the author of a new book called Candy, A Century of Panic and Pleasure. Samira, thanks for coming on.
It's great to be here.
This is a little bit sideways, but you have clearly spent a number of years of your life writing this book about candy. You have a candy blog that is voluminous and detailed. What's with the candy?
Well, you know, it was really my secret pleasure and my secret vice when I was a child. And not only that, but that nobody's really talked about it. The candy business has been a huge part of food processing in America. So I was really startled to find that nobody cared enough to look at that with a critical eye to think about how has it become so important in American life? And also, where do these kind of positive and negative feelings come from historically?
Well, it actually goes to a thing that you get to. I mean, this is a story of industrialization and globalization and all of that stuff. But you come back at the end of the book to what for me is the payoff pitch here. You can't separate candy from talking about all the other things that we eat.
Well, I think we make this very sharp distinction between candy that is harmful and dangerous and food that is good and wholesome and nurturing. And yet, when you just look at the chemistry and the molecules, the candy just isn't that different. I mean, look at the apple juice. Look at the breakfast cereal. You know,
Eggo waffles, you talk about, right?
There you go. Yeah. It's really the substance of it isn't all that different. And yet, we seem to really need to have a category of stuff we eat that we can say unequivocally, that's bad for you.
It comes about, candy does, just the general category, as a matter of convenience, right? They wanted things that wouldn't spoil or rot. It could be taken and transported to school or work easily, right?
Well, yeah. The most important thing that happened for candy from the perspective of the consumer was mass manufacture. Mm. Candy went from being an expensive, rare luxury good to being something that was common and ubiquitous and cheap. But people didn't eat candy like it was common and ubiquitous and cheap because they saw it as a luxury good. So the candy industry had to figure out how to sell this thing as something people would eat every day.
And it becomes almost recession-proof, right? I mean, when times are bad, you want something that's going to make you feel good, and there's nothing better than a candy bar for that.
Well, it makes you feel good, and it doesn't cost much. And I think that's the boon and the bane of mass-manufactured candy. And in part, its inexpensive nature makes it maybe a little bit too appealing that we sometimes overindulge because it seems like such a trifle.
Is this an American phenomenon, not fixation, that's too strong, but, you know, we like our candy in this country, we do. Can you say the same thing for the Europeans and for Asians and South Americans?
Well, I think we are not the biggest candy eaters. I think that Scandinavians and even the British eat more candy on a sort of per capita basis. But we seem to have the most tortured relationship with our sweets. We are much more likely to use words like guilt and temptation and indulgence. Those are uniquely American worries that really draw on this long tradition of food moralism that I think is also a uniquely American phenomenon.
So just to be clear then, I am not the worst parent in the world if I give my kids a jelly bean or a candy.
I think you should give your kids a jelly bean or a candy bar, but you should also give them an education about what it is that you're giving them, and that candy is a treat, and that we need to learn to tell the difference between candy and real food, and eat real food for dinner, and eat the treat for the treat.
Got to have your kale, and then you can have your jelly beans, right?
There you go.
All right. Samira Kawash, her book is called Candy, A Century of Panic and Pleasure. Samira, thanks very much for your time.
It was a pleasure.